Hello, you beautiful being of light. Thank you so much for being here and for tuning in. My name is Jessica Mazzo. Welcome to the Magical Soul Healing Podcast. I am here for you. I am here to hold space. I am here to reflect love. I am here to reflect your worth to you. I'm here to also offer tools and resources so that you can navigate life on Earth. As we journey and harmonize together, inhale and exhale. Trust that you are exactly where you are meant to be. Hey friends, it's your girl, Jessica Mazzo, aka Jess the Empress. Let me pull up the page that I was meant to have before I did this. Okay, we are ready. So today I wanted to, well, if you're reading the topic of today's episode, it is about depressive episodes. It is going into them and coming out of them. And I feel like this is a good time to talk about it because I'm coming out of a depressive episode. If you don't know, I struggle with anxiety and depression, and I have since I was like little, so it's not new for me, but I would like to share it if it is new for you. I want to just talk about how you can manage the symptoms of depression. And just for like full disclosure, I do have a background in clinical social work, so therapy. I've studied depression and things like that, but I am not here to give like the professional advice. I'm going to give you my perspective and I'm going to give you my experience, but you need to talk to a professional if your symptoms are just so overwhelming and you need help, and it's totally fine. I've gotten help for my depressive symptoms. And the other thing I want to say is that you can have depressive episodes, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you could be diagnosed with depression. Because what's very interesting is, like, let's say you're going through a really big loss or separation or massive change, which in massive change, there's usually massive stress that's negatively impacting the nervous system. You'll probably have some anxious, depressive symptoms, but it doesn't mean that you would qualify for a depressive episode. And there's something that clinicians will write down as a diagnosis before they give a depressive symptom or, you know, depressive diagnosis or anxious diagnosis. And it's called adjustment disorder. And it's very temporary and it's clearly like correlated to an adjustment that you're going through. So yeah, just know that. Like, if you go to a professional, you have a lot of say here in a lot of ways. So I know that people don't want to be slapped with a label. I totally get that. At the same time, that stigma is what is going to keep you from getting the support that you need. So I'm just going to encourage you to let go of the labels. And in discussing what you want with your clinician, say, hey, I just want help with these depressive symptoms or with these anxious symptoms, and this is exactly what I'm going through in my life right now. And it, again, like, say, like, you know, I probably don't have like depression, but if you do, it's also okay. You know, there's going to be solutions that are going to be given to you no matter what the diagnosis is. Okay, so that being said, also, I just want to say, like, I apologize for the color. I don't know how to like adjust it. It's sort of like overly white and blue. I'm upgrading my equipment soon, so hopefully that will give better quality to those of you who are on camera. Off camera, I'm pretty sure y'all can hear me like pretty good with the microphone. Which is fine. So, all right, let me reel it back in. I've got some spearmint tea. So actually, let me take a sip of this. Yeah, this is nice. Okay. So, going into a depressive episode. Yeah. There are definitely certain things you can notice that let you know that there is a depressive episode coming in. And I know it's really frustrating because you think that you have control over these things, and to a degree you have a control over your response to the depressive episode or the anxious episode, but you definitely don't always have control over it. So going into a depressive episode, one of the best things that I've learned is to not judge it and to not overanalyze. I'm literally taking myself out of analyzing, and I'm looking at how I'm feeling. I'm looking at how I'm relating to my tasks, to the world around me. And I usually know that the episode is coming on when I start to get overwhelmed by things that don't overwhelm me when I'm not in a depressive episode. So it'll be, and my anxiety just skyrockets. So I will start to freak out about going to the grocery store. I will start to freak out about walking my dog, about recording podcast episodes and YouTube videos. I'll just freak out. You know, I'll look at it as if it's so hard to do. I will feel so heavy in my body. My legs literally feel heavier. My body just feels like it's just, yeah, there's like extra weight energetically in my body. And it's a slow onset, but I still feel the change. And then I feel like I have to, it's like outside of a depressive episode, when I go to walk my dog, I'm just like grabbing the keys, grabbing the leash, hooking him onto it, throwing on my coat, walking out the door, looking at the sunshine, or, you know, feeling the cold air, being like, fuck, it's cold today. It's like I'm more like in the moment. Whereas if I'm in a depressive episode, or if I'm in the beginning stages of it, it's like, oh, I gotta walk him, okay. And then I'll think about putting my coat on before I'm actually doing it. And I'll think about all the steps I have to take, and how it's just like, oh, it's like, oh, this weather, or like, what does it matter if it's sunny outside? I feel like shit. So there's like a big disconnect from presence, and I'm very much like in my head and in my emotions. That's how I know. So the low energy is a big sign for me that the depressive symptoms are there, or they're coming in. Just like the increase in anxiety. I'm reading off of a list from Medical News Today. Let me give you the name of the article, which is How to Cope with a Depressive Episode. And this is really cool. This is definitely more clinical. It gives you statistics and other articles that you can get deeper insight on, which is dope. I just wanted to go through these symptoms and pick out the ones that I resonate with the most. However, I do recommend that you do your own research and that you educate yourself on which things are sort of like your signs, because that is how you roadmap. And when you're roadmapping, there's a way, right, that you can navigate through it. If you're just like, I don't know, and you're literally lost, you know, think of it as like a literal roadmap. If you have a map of how to get from A to B, it might be windy, you know, it may be hard, it may be steep, it might be scary, but there's still a roadmap. It is so much better when there's a roadmap than when you're just, again, like, I'll figure it out on my own, and you're just, you could be running in circles. You know what I mean? You could be going over the same place four times in a row before you realize, oh, I actually have been here before. You know, if there's like preventative measures that you can take. So I'm going to encourage you to do this for yourself. But feelings of sadness, hopelessness, or helplessness, I feel like the one that I get the most is helplessness. I have, and I've talked about this before, but the biggest thing I feel is like a victim of life. So that's just a part of my own early childhood conditioning. So it's like a very deep wound. And of course, it makes sense that that would be the biggest thing that pops up in a depressive or anxious episode. I'll feel like I just can't do it. And that's the helplessness. And I have understood as I've been educated and as I've reflected that it's a learned behavior. So it's learned helplessness. I didn't see people feel empowered growing up. They didn't see anybody be empowered while they were growing up. So here we go. We're just handing out like, this is how you learn how to be helpless, you know, because people just sat around and they didn't have a proactive solution-focused mindset. And that's not their fault. Like, we have to learn how to change this in ourselves in order for us to rewrite the patterns of early childhood conditioning. So helplessness is a big one. So when I start to feel like I can't do it or I don't know how to do it, once I start to clock that mindset, I'm like, this is anxiety and depression talking to me. And it's good that I know that because then I'm not personalizing it. I'm not saying I am helpless. I'm not saying I can never do anything. You know, I'm not saying I'll never find the solution. Instead, I'm saying, okay, I might feel like that right now. Let me be kind and compassionate. And I also have the ability to look at other things in my life that are going well. Since I've come through so many depressive and anxious episodes, I know that they don't last forever. But I just want to say that if you're going into this maybe like your first time or you're sort of, if it's a new thing in your life, which happens, and this can happen at any age. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be in your teens. You can be in your 50s. It can happen. Just know that you can. It doesn't last forever. And that's a huge thing that you can bring your mind back to. And then again, it's like, well, I might feel helpless right now, but I can learn. I can learn how to help myself. That's another very strong mindset shift you can lean into when you're noticing that the chatter is all about that you're helpless, that you don't know what you're doing, that you can't figure it out, you know. So sadness, I don't necessarily feel sadness from my life, but I do notice in my depressive episodes that I will take on a sadness for the collective, which is very interesting. I'll just start to, I notice that like media influences me a little bit more, like I'm more sensitive to it. So like, let's say news coming in about like another shooting is, you know, I can't be sad over all of them, but in a depressive episode, I will be like deeply impacted. I don't necessarily think that is a bad thing, because I do feel like it is important to be impacted by the world around us in a way that motivates us. But it's like, I'm not motivated. This is the distinguishing factor here. I am overwhelmed. I feel helpless. I feel like the state of the world cannot be changed. This is important, okay? Feelings of feeling guilty or worthless. Yeah, for sure. Like, for sure. I won't feel like any of my accomplishments mean anything. I'm very removed from feeling proud. I'm very far removed from feeling like anything I've done is good, which is just complete bullshit. And I know that that is just that's like what depressive thoughts say. That's like what anxious thoughts say. That's what depressive symptoms feel like. That's what anxious symptoms feel like. Those things feel like what I do isn't worth it, you know? And then I feel guilty because I'm not doing more, you know? And it's like, okay, those belong to the parts of me that feel anxious and depressed, but that's not my whole self. And I think it's really good to be able to distinguish that. And I'm going to encourage that you shift into framing that as like, these are just depressed parts. These are anxious parts. I'm whole and complete. And I'm made up of many, many parts. And some of them are just really loud right now. Anxiety. That's like a daily thing. Oh, you know what? Now that I literally said anxiety, even though it's like the 10th time I've said it, I realize that I haven't taken My CBD. This is not an ad, so I'm not even gonna say. I'm gonna go off camera really quick. This isn't even like an ad. I'm not getting paid for this. Maybe I could do that in the future. If someone would like to sponsor me with CBD, I will use your product. I will rate your product. I will promote your products. Let's collab. I'm just putting that out there into the universe. Anxiety. Yeah, that's like an everyday thing. But I will just feel elevated, not in a way that's like elated and excited and like optimistic. It's like that kind of elevated, like where my energy just feels, it feels all over the place, like very scattered. And I can tell based on how focused I'm able to be with different tasks. It's very hard for me to focus on certain things. So concentration is like, and I'll feel like an impulse to jump all over the place. That's when there's like, yeah, some anxiety. And then mindset, it's like, fuck, it's trying to take on the world. It's trying to figure, it's like I'll wake up and my brain, a part of my brain will say, let's try to plan the whole day right now before you even brush your teeth. I want you to know everything you're going to do today. This is an impossible task, and yet I will believe that I should be doing it. And this is what I have to do the work on, right? Is saying like, no, thank you. Thanks for the invitation, but like, I'm good. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to make a cup of coffee or tea. So it's helpful, and I hope that I am just I hope that I am modeling that you can live with these symptoms, and it's like, okay, you know, it does it suck? Yeah, but like you can still have a life, and you can still have a great life. Like really, you can. And I think that that's what I want to. I hope that I can portray that the clearest is like, do I still get things done? Yeah. Do I always get things done efficiently? No. But it's okay. Like I'm not trying to be perfect. And I'm also not necessarily trying to like, yeah, I'm not trying to rid myself of everything always. In terms of anxiety and depression, there's like no way you can force yourself through it. It's gonna backfire. Just go through it. And you can go through these episodes and you can see these symptoms and you can say, okay, like you there's kindness and compassion and moments of joy and pleasure that still exist in depressive episodes and still exist in anxious episodes. Like I know this, I've lived through it, and I hope that you can get that. Like I really do. I'm just really passionate about it. Because it touches on hope. And hope is important, and it touches on confidence, and confidence is important, and it touches on resilience, and resilience is important, and courage and bravery, and all those things are at all of our core, and that's like what I hope to connect with in you, but also help you connect in like seeing that you have it in yourself, like maybe through me, like that whole mirroring experience. Okay, anyway. Irritability or frustration? Oh, y'all. Fuck. I mean, both. I will be irritated that like I spilled water, you know? And then I'll be super judgy, like, why can't you just pour water like a regular person in your cup? Like just the dumbest shit. Frustration, a task sort of outside of an anxious or depressive episode, a task I know that would take me a reasonable amount of time, I then will turn to and be like, why am I not getting this done faster? That makes no sense, but yet I will be very much in that, and I will just start to pick at myself, which is so mean. But I know that that's all the conditioned patterning living inside of me and showing it's revealing itself to me. And so once I see it in its revelation in my body and in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to shift out of this. Like, haha, you sneaky little bastard. Like, you thought you were going to have my whole day fucked up. But like, no, it's 12:30. You only had half the day today. So it's like, all right, let me take a step back. And I'm going to get into managing this, but I'm just still going over like the symptoms. Restlessness, that's, I think, part of like the anxiousness. The restlessness I feel like I can see when I am jumping from task to task. So that's like the low concentration, high distraction vibes. Changes in appetite or weight. You know what? I'll put on, if it's prolonged depression and anxiety, then yes, I will see an impact in my weight. I feel like it's not necessarily the appetite that changes, but it's the food that changes for me. Because it's so much easier to grab shit that's not good for me. You know, I think like everybody, because it's just anybody can go to McDonald's, you know what I mean? Or Taco Bell or whatever. Or go to the convenience store, you know, and like it's very easy to just do the simple things. But that doesn't help. So I noticed that the food that I reach for changes. But I eat. I love food. I love food. So yeah, I don't necessarily reduce the amount of food that I eat, or I don't necessarily increase the amount of food that I eat always. It's like, again, it's the type of food. I might go for the more junkier food instead of the healthier, like a salad smoothie kind of thing. Quinoa bowl, like all that's out the window. I'm like, oh, let me get some ramen. Which there's nothing wrong with any of those foods in moderation, but it's like, it's ramen 3 days in a row, Jess, get a grip, you know, kind of shit. So let's see, loss of interest in things once enjoyed, including hobbies and socializing. Yeah, that's for sure. That's a huge indicator of a depressive episode coming on for me. Is that one of the things that I enjoy the most in my life is connecting with my doggo, walking him. It's been a joy since day one to have him in my life, really, to be able to take care and connect and bond is incredible. And when I notice that I'm like, ugh, I'm about to take him on a walk, and I can't even find enthusiasm in like wanting to connect, yo, that's a huge indicator for me. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And also in hobbies, like I have lots of different things around my apartment that I love: painting, puzzles, roller skates, yoga mat for yoga. What else? I mean, I don't know. Like I just reading, like there's lots of stuff that I like to do. But when I feel the onset of a depressive episode, I will look at all of it and be like, eh, what's the point? And I've realized that over time, it's really good for me to do the thing, even if I feel kind of flat, you know, because then I'm putting an expectation on this thing to make me happy, to make me feel a certain way, when it's like, I think that's a little bit of a high expectation right now. I think it's okay to do this puzzle. I think it's okay to paint this painting and to just feel kind of flat. You know, I've worked on not judging myself, but still keeping somewhat of a routine. That's really important. So let's see. Trouble concentrating or remembering. Yeah, I find that I have to take a little bit. I find that my note-taking increases during depressive and anxious episodes, which is fine because it keeps me on track. So it's like a coping strategy to write things down more often. Changes in sleep pattern sometimes, but I'm pretty good about sleeping. I think the biggest change is that I'll want to avoid doing things, but with sleep. So the biggest change is like, it's not that I'm actually sleeping more, but it's like I'm staying in the bed more. So that, whether it's like going to bed early, even though I'm not sleeping, like I'm avoiding doing things by that. And then also in the morning, I'll wake up and be like, I don't need to go to bed now. Delay by 3 hours. moving or talking more slowly than usual. Yeah, I mentioned that I feel very heavy, very weighted. My legs literally feel like they have lead in them. They feel so heavy. It feels like almost impossible to move them sometimes. It's fascinating to observe. And then loss of interest in living, thoughts of death or suicide or attempting suicide. So, realistically, I have intrusive thoughts like you should just jump into traffic or like what would happen if you did that. So that's there. However, I do not have a strong, super strong. That's one of the things that I don't have a lot of. I do wonder, I tip over into more of like an existential crisis. Like, it's like, what's the point of life? I start to really contemplate like big shit. And then, like, does my life have a purpose? Like, that's kind of it. It's not necessarily like direct thoughts of like, you should kill yourself or like life would be better without you in it. I don't have that. I have in the past, but with, again, therapy and active self-reflection and self-work, those thoughts and those in the frequency of the intrusive thoughts have definitely decreased, which is great. So the context of the intrusive thoughts, it's like very fleeting, and it's like jump into traffic. Like, it still happens to me, but I also know that it's like that's an intrusive thought. And they do feel scary sometimes, but again, it's like I know it's pretty normal to have them, so I don't freak out about it anymore. And I'm like, yeah, you're silly. Like, stop. Just hush your mouth. Like, I'm not gonna do anything with you. Aches or pains that don't have obvious physical cause. Well, I don't know. I live with this chronic neck pain and shoulder pain, so that I feel like I notice more when I'm in one of those episodes. And I guess like the heaviness of the legs, but other than that, I don't really feel achy or pain. I just feel very sluggish and very heavy. Okay, so let me move on to the second part of the article, which is 12 tips for dealing with a depressive episode. So some of this, I mean, because this is pretty research-based and it's good research, I'm going with it because it's not anything different than I wouldn't tell you. Like, it very much mirrors what I learned in grad school. So I think that's great. I'm just going to go with it. Because I've realized in order to help myself in life and in creating this content, I don't need to write down everything. I really don't. Step one, track triggers and symptoms. This is a big deal. When I reflected on why I was feeling a certain way recently, because like I said, I'm coming out of a depressive episode, I had a lot of pressure. Finding a place here, so a new apartment in a language in a country that I don't speak the language fluently. So there's just like a lot of unknown, a lot of things that would naturally increase anyone's anxiety and stress levels. On top of owning a business, and it's just like holy shit, like it just really pushed me into a depressive episode, and that's totally fine. I mean, do I want to be here? No, but it makes sense that I am. It just makes sense that I am. So like what was going on in my life was a lot of pressure, and a lot of overwhelm, and that's it. Like, just sometimes it doesn't take much. And also what I know, what I know about the triggers is that sometimes there is no trigger. And I know that sucks. And I know people just fucking hate that. But I'm here to keep it real with you. And to just, there comes a point in time where you're looking at everything and you're like, everything is, you can't clock anything, And you're like, what the fuck? Yeah, sometimes there's no trigger. I'm sorry. I wish it were different. But I love you. I love you. And I'm here for you. But yeah, sometimes there just isn't a trigger. However, a lot of times There is a trigger. And I also think this is more of my spiritual perspective than like clinical mental health perspective. So energy, like things live in our body. And sometimes because we have the DNA of our ancestors and shit, it could be moving through us and releasing and everything and like it's an impactor to a depressive or an anxious episode, but we have absolutely no fucking evidence. So I do think that sometimes it goes beyond us and it's like ancestral, you know, like we're moving out of it, you know, we're clearing that from our body. We're doing the work, you know, of our ancestors and we're doing the spiritual work, which is just saying, like, I'm going to surrender. Without questioning and without evidence, and just saying, like, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's part of it. But that's just a spiritual perspective. If it doesn't resonate, that's fine. Second step, stay calm. Yeah, big deal. I think I've talked about this in the beginning of the episode, but it was like if you notice that you're having a depressive and anxious episode come in, it's like, okay. What do I need to do to navigate this time? How can I set myself up for a successful depressive and anxious episode? It sounds sort of weird, but it's true. How can I set myself up for a successful one? And success is like there's interventions and it's making sure you don't tip over into an uncontrollable, just really, really low point, rock bottom. There are definitely things that we can do to prevent that. And this is why I encourage we track our triggers, we notice what the signs and symptoms are. Because again, if we don't notice what the signs and symptoms are, we will find ourselves at the rock bottom. Like, what the fuck? And we don't always need to rock bottom out. Like, we don't. We can get close, and it's not pretty. I get it. But we don't always need to hit rock bottom to learn our lessons and to learn, like, what the fuck is going on or to even just help ourselves. Like, we don't need to be there always. So staying calm is a big thing, because anxiety and depression are treatable. So there's a lot of positivity there. There's a lot of hope there. We just don't want to like worsen the symptoms, right? You know, we want to keep ourselves as balanced as possible. I think if you're new, it's going to be really hard to remind yourself that because you don't have a memory of like that you've come out of it before. If you're not new to it, then you can definitely reflect and be like, holy shit, like I've overcome this before. I can do it again. I will do it again. And then you move through the episode. But for those of you who haven't, again, I hope to inspire you to just say, like, you can do it. You can move through this. And does it suck? Yes. Yeah. But you can fucking do it. You can do it. And you will be amazed at what you're capable of. Like, on the other side of it, you'll be like, holy shit, like I am unstoppable. And it's like, because you are, even if you go through a depressive episode, like you're not stopping. Maybe super slow down, but you're not stopping. Understand and accept depression, step three. This is why our education is so important. Self-education and being open to be educated by other people, right? Because this is where we learn that this shit is not our fault. And there are things that we can do to, again, navigate it. And we're not like these flawed, terrible people. You know, we're not like, this isn't bad karma. Like, all of that is fuckboy shit that never needs to exist in your mind about accepting a depressive episode, accepting depressive symptoms, anxious symptoms. When you understand that there's a lot of shit within your brain, there's brain chemistry, there's just so many things that you don't have control over. But what's important is like when you educate yourself, then you have power because you're like, oh, I'm not personalizing this. I'm not attacking myself. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with me because really there isn't anything wrong with you. There's a way that you need to go through life because of the symptoms that's different than somebody else with a different brain and different brain chemistry. They have their own roadmap. You're going to have your own roadmap. cool, everybody has issues, right? But it's not to say that they're a bad person because of it. So why would you say that about yourself? Why would you look at yourself like you're a failure because you have depressive symptoms, you know? However, the depressive mind and the anxious mind, it'll tell you that. It'll insert those stories so fast into your psyche and you'll be believing them so fast. But that's why you want to be educated. That's why you want to be able to realize like, oh, depressive symptoms carry their own little personality. And that little personality part of my psyche has a lot to say and a lot to feel. Or sometimes it's like trying to trick me into thinking that this void is the only thing that's real, you know? So it's like, but when you're educated, you're empowered. And that's like a big thing. Step four, separate yourself from your depression. Yes, I think I touched on this and I hope I gave a good example, but short and sweet is I am not depression. I just have depression. And this is why I talk about if you notice that depressed part of your mind or the anxious part of your mind, those are parts and pieces. They're not you, the whole. Because again, like what you have as an individual is courage, is resilience, is brilliance, is creativity, is power. It's like, that's you, baby. It's not this shit that's running so loud right now. And when you can keep pivoting, you know, back into those other parts of yourself, you're going to strengthen your connection to those parts of yourself. And the depressive, anxious symptoms won't be, they'll be there. Like, I'm going to be clear, they'll be there. But your relationship with them will be much more kind and compassionate. And a lot of times, again, you're going to decrease going into a full-blown slump and rock bottom. Recognize the importance of self-care. Yeah, that's definitely one of the first things that goes out the window for me. I'll be like, it's so hard to, like, hygiene. That's like a huge thing. And I'll notice that it's like, oh, I like skipped like brushing my teeth this morning or like a day in a 2 days in a row, or like I didn't like shower and I'm not even doing like a body shower. I'm just like totally skipping that. I'm not putting on like lotion and I'm ignoring my skincare. Yeah, all of that is a good sign. And in terms of self-care, it's like doing the things that make me feel balanced. Like I said, walking my dog and stuff like that. I will just completely neglect that. I'll start to hop onto YouTube and TikTok and shit. And like, it's for longer periods of time. And I'm just taking in like whatever type of information. I'm not consciously saying like, I want to watch uplifting videos or like nature videos. Like, no, I'm just saying whatever's good. And that's not good. That's not true. So because I think part of our self-care has to be our social media intake, you know, and a good sign that I'm not doing my best is when I'm not caring about what I'm putting in front of my face or for how long. So recognize the importance of self-care and then just doing your best to keep engaging in those activities, even when you don't feel good. Yeah. Deep breathing and relaxing the muscles. This is where a mindfulness and meditation strategy will be really helpful. Because it's a part of your self-care, but also self-soothing. And I will just sit outside and like deep breathe. I'll just go in the backyard or the front yard, whatever. And I will just inhale and exhale. And there are times when I will set aside like 5 or 6 minutes to do it. And then there's other times where I'll take 3 or 4 breaths and then do something else around the house or whatever. And then after I'm done that task, I'll go back out and like open up my chest, open up my arms, look at the sky and take those deep breaths and then 2 or 3 or 5, whatever, and then come back inside, you know? So I don't believe in putting any additional pressure on ourselves because that's only going to spiral us out. Like, just be realistic. Can you take one deep breath outside? Can you open up? And even if your brain is like, this is bullshit, this is stupid, this isn't going to do anything, okay, fine, like, whatever, but do it anyway. Like, it's one deep breath. Like, you can do it. Let's see. Oh, and this article suggests getting your booty some meditation apps, which are great. I think it's cool. You have to obviously hold yourself accountable to creating the habit, which is so much harder to do in an anxious and depressed episode. So when you're outside of that episode, be diligent about that habit because it's going to be easier to shift into when you feel the onset of the depression and anxiety. And by no means do I mean that it's like it is easy. It's just easier. Like you're going to go through a lot of resistance sometimes, but you're still doing it. You're moving with the resistance instead of just letting the resistance stop the movement. Challenge negative thoughts. This is a big deal. I am trained in trauma-informed cognitive behavioral therapy. This particular article mentions CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, as a technique for depression and mood disorders. But CBT proposes that a person's thoughts, rather than their life situation, affects their mood. And I like that. I really do, because we're all in our heads, and so we want to curate a really good, healthy mental space, and CBT is what can help create that. And you're looking at your behaviors, your feelings, and your thoughts in the CBT model. And if you are very interested in therapy, look up a therapist that is trained in trauma-informed cognitive behavioral therapy. Whether or not you have trauma, a trauma-informed perspective, I find, has better outcomes than non-trauma-informed. Typically because the therapist is just much more sensitive. There are things that you learn in trauma-informed practices that you don't in non-trauma-informed practices. I'm a sensitive soul. I mean, I have trauma, but I do think that, and what I've seen anyway, is that even people without trauma, they feel like they benefit just greatly from a person that is trauma-informed. Because I do think that the lens is even more holistic. It's even more, it's just nicer. I don't know how else to explain it, but I think it's, yeah, it feels good. I like it. Anyway, for the last paragraph, it's like, first notice how the negative thoughts arise. And I did explain that. That's a part of it. And what the thoughts say. That's another part of it. So like I said, there's the depressive thoughts and the anxious thoughts are going to be a part of your chit chatter in your brain because that's what your psyche does. It just runs thoughts. And the context of thoughts is important to catch. And so these thoughts, maybe I'm not good enough, I'm a failure. And so in the CBT model, you challenge those thoughts and you replace them with thoughts that are a little bit nicer and more accurate, which is like, I did my best. I am enough. I don't necessarily frame thoughts as positive or negative. I just like to look at them as, are they helpful? And even if they're like true thoughts, like I failed at something, I got to expand on that and be like, well, that doesn't mean that I'm a failure, you know, and I can feel like a failure, but it doesn't even mean I'm a failure. So there's a lot of play within that. That's really helpful. Practice mindfulness. You can do that on an app as well. But the way that you get to noticing your thoughts is through mindfulness-based practices. And then on top of noticing your thoughts, it's okay, taking my dog for a walk. I'm not necessarily feeling super great about it, but I'm noticing that the wind feels a little cooler today. I'm noticing that the sun is really warm, or I'm noticing that the clouds are really gray and that I can hear the rustle of the leaves and the pitter-patter of my little dog's paws on the ground. And I'm noticing the jangles of like my jewelry, and I'm feeling like the soft cotton fabric on my body. This is mindfulness. In mindfulness is where I feel really comfortable. I love when I'm in a nice mindful flow state. So cultivating a mindfulness practice is a huge, huge benefit because, again, it's a resource, right, for when you're in a depressive and anxious state. Make a bedtime routine. Yes, I love a good bedtime routine. Just try to go to bed at the same time every day, which I think is really important. Yeah, I love to have a good book, a hot shower, good book, petting my pup, cozying up. Like, all of that is key. Because I will start to feel myself get so tired. And then I feel like when I wake up, there's less anxious thoughts that are like there. And there's a little bit more energy to start the day, which is good. You know, I'm not trying to shoot for perfection. And I don't expect that. I just want to move the needle like 1%. And also getting off the phone, that's a big deal. Exercise. So I do feel that it's an important thing to do. I do think that depending on how debilitating the depressive and anxious episode is, just modify your amount of exercise. Like I said, don't push through. Like, don't add pressure to go to the gym if it is like impossible for you to move. Maybe just see if you can stretch a little bit and even look up yoga that you can do in bed, because it's a thing. It's a real thing. And again, move the needle 1%. Okay. Don't be trying to do fucking miracles on yourself. Like, cause it's going to backfire. It's going to backfire, because if you set up a task that is too much for where you are at right now, it's a high standard. It's going to reinforce quote unquote failure. Don't fuck that noise. Stretch. Go outside. Jump up and down. Do 5 fucking jumping jacks. Do 5 push-ups. Do 5 whatever, hip thrusts. And if you have energy later in the day, maybe do another set of 5. You know, like, I think that we're so unkind to ourselves by thinking that because we did all this yesterday, we need to do it today. No, we don't. We just fucking don't. Avoid alcohol. That makes sense. Alcohol is a depressant. Why would we add a depressant on top of a depressive episode? It's because we're like, I'm escaping my feelings, but that shit's gonna hit you so hard. It's gonna catch up to you. Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. Especially if you're on medication. Don't be silly. Don't be silly. Last step. Record the positives. I want to be clear about this, because a lot of times when I'm doing this, I will look at the positive and I will be like, yeah, all right, that's cool. I made dinner. I walked the dog. I finished this article writing. I made my podcast video. Outside of a depressive episode, an anxious episode, I would be like, fuck yeah, girl, you're getting your shit done. You're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, you are handling business. You're a great fucking dog mom. Bitch, you are cooking for yourself. Like, you are amazing. But in a depressive episode, I'll be looking at those things like, these are not big deals. Like, I'm not impressed with myself, basically. And so I do know that it's okay if I'm not excited about what I see on paper, but it is important for me to hold myself accountable to writing it down, because it's giving me evidence of I'm okay. You know, I'm still getting some stuff done. I'm still getting some stuff done. And like, that's cool. Again, I may not have a big emotional connection to it, but I'm not always trying to, you know, that's not always like the goal. So here it says, often depressive episodes can leave people focusing on the negatives and discounting the positives, which is true. To counteract it, keep a positivity journal and a gratitude journal. This type of journal helps build self-esteem. Before bed, write down 3 good things for the day. Positive include, how about, let's be real. I love this article, but I'm going to keep it honest. Maybe just like one, because sometimes we only have one thing. You know, it's fine. Even, I don't care how basic it is. If you're like, that cup of coffee 12 hours ago was bomb as fuck, and that was the only moment I felt excited about something, write that shit down. Write it down. Positive includes regular meditation, going for a walk, eating healthy, you know, all the things I mentioned, and like whatever else is like your positivity thing. But again, like, it's okay if you're looking at it and you don't feel a sense of accomplishment. It's okay if you're looking at it and you don't feel excited or proud of yourself. That is just part of the depressive episode. It just kind of keeps you a little disconnected, a little muted from tapping into that. But when you create the habit over time, you have a connection to it. And again, the habit is easier to do outside of a depressive episode. So again, like when you're writing down the things that you have done that day that are great or that are positive or that are whatever, outside of the depressive episode, you're going to be like, hell yeah, this is awesome. I'm so grateful. Just keep the practice going, even if you don't have the emotional connection to it, and just consciously notice like this is just how the depression works a little bit. It just, again, it's keeping me not as excited about life, but that's okay. Let's see. So yeah, as I'm wrapping up here, yeah, thank you so much for being here, because this is I'm already at 50 minutes. So now it's moving on to asking for help, and I talked about that. You obviously want to find a therapist if the symptoms are consistent, and if you just are like, oh, this feels like a lot for me to do on my own. You don't have to. That's why people go to school and educate themselves and sign up to be therapists. They want to help. Like, they are so eager for you to come in because they just like, that's what they signed up for. Support groups are great. Family and friends, people who can help you with your depression, they can move through that with you. Not to say that they're taking your symptoms on for you, but that they can say like, babe, did you brush your teeth today? Did you take your vitamins? Let's go on a walk. What can I do to support you? Do you want me to listen? Do you want a hug? Do you just want to cry together? Like, you want to watch a sad movie and eat some popcorn? You know, you need people like that in your life. You do. You fucking do. I do. I love that shit. So at the very last section of the article, which I will encourage again you to go over, it talks about the different types of depression. And I feel a lot of times that there's a general outline to working with depression, but the specific types of depression, again, will have different toolkit. And that's why it's, I think, so great to get the professional help. Oh, yeah. Okay. So there is, let me open this link real quick. There's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is great. That is 1-800-273-8255. There is the crisis text line, and that is, you can text the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741741. Let me get you the number to the Samaritans line. If you're in a crisis or suicidal and need someone to talk to, call the Samaritans branch, which is 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K. These are only U.S. numbers. There's always 911. They can also transfer you to a crisis line or even places in your area. So don't be scared to call those people, because they are fucking awesome and they will help you. And that's what they're, again, that's like, they sign up for that. And again, I know your brain is going to tell you it's stupid. Your brain's going to tell you, oh, you shouldn't because of this, and this makes you this. But it's like, that's your brain talking. The truth of the matter is that you deserve support. The truth is that you deserve to walk into the open arms and open spaces that people have set up and structured for the times that you need help. You do. You deserve that. And that's exactly what it's there for. So just, you know, make sure you're challenging those thoughts and being like, and just reinforcing how deserving and worthy you are. And I know that that is so fucking hard when you're in a depressive and anxious episode. I know. But if this reaches you and you are touched by it, then I'm doing it. I'm out here living my dream. It means the world to me. So, this is it. depression and anxiousness are real. You know, they're real things that I live with. I have, again, since I was a kid. But I want you to know that if you have these symptoms in your life, you're not a bad person. You didn't do anything to deserve this. Like, you literally didn't. Again, it's not bad karma. I also don't fucking believe that you came down here. I don't believe that you picked this. I don't believe any of that. And you might be like, wait, aren't you spiritual? I am. But I don't think that everything we see in New Age spirituality is fucking true. I don't. At the end of the day, I'm always going to come from a mental health background. I'm going to come from, yeah, it's not always going to be what everybody says is trending right now on fucking TikTok. Like, it's just, I'm not that person. So, coping can get easier, you know, and when you have a good outline of what your symptoms are, of what triggers you, and of how to be compassionate with yourself, you're at the top of your game, because it's not always about getting rid of these things. It's about saying, this is a part of life. It's not going to last forever. And I'm okay, you know. Yeah, I feel pretty good about this. Okay, I love you. I'm sending love to you. If this has helped you, please let me know. You can find me on Instagram at JessTheEmpress. You can send me an email at Jessica.Mazzo@MagicalSoulHealing.com. And yeah, just let me know if this supports you. I will create another video and see you soon. Okay. Sending you all the love.